You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Our theme this year is making disciples. So, I've been reading a whole lot about the disciples and about Jesus' teaching them and his instruction to the disciples, because that's what we're doing. Yeah, Jesus often had trouble with those guys. Mark chapter 10, where we're going to be studying today, very interesting dialogue between Jesus and two disciples, James and John. They kind of got Jesus off away from the others to him, to themselves. And, hey, Jesus, when you get in your glory, can one of us sit on your right hand and the other one of us sit on your left hand? Here's what you need to know. Young people, let me just give you a little heads up. Anything you tell your best friend in confidence is going to come out. You just need to know you're not ever going to do anything that the whole world doesn't know about it. So James and John thought they were safe. They're jockeying for position. Hey, one of us on the right, one of us on your left. Hey, come on, what about it, man? Well, the other 10 hear about it, as always they do. And they, some translations say mad, some say displeased, some translations use the word indignant. Got inter-staff conflict, mad over who's the boss's favorite, who gets preferred treatment, jealousy, power struggle. We're in the middle of all this, and in verse 42, Jesus calls them over to him. This is amazing to me. This is amazing to me. He did not rebuke them for wanting to be great. That's amazing. You bunch of clowns. He didn't lambast them for their desire to be great. He didn't say, you prideful, you arrogant, you power-hungry jerks. You're not going to believe what his response was. Not only did he not rebuke them for wanting to be great, he tells them how to pull it off. He tells them how to accomplish greatness. The title of today's message is, So You Want to Be Great. The Bible often, in very graphic words, tells us about the downfall of pride. The Bible says pride is like witchcraft. It says pride comes right before a fall. It says God brings down the pride. Let me just let you in on it. God does not accept pride. We're to be humble. We're to be meek people. But oftentimes in the translation of Scripture, because Hebrew is such a descriptive language, it has many, many more words than the English language does. So when you are translating it to English, you're often left with using one word that has many different connotations in the original text. And there is a pride. There is a pride that exalts itself, that looks down on other people, that condescends to other people. There is a pride that thinks you are better than everybody else. There is an arrogance that thinks you're more important than other people. There is a pride where you step on people, where you use people to advance yourself, and God's not ever going to tolerate that. You can write that down. God's not going to tolerate that. Church, I've struggled in trying to teach this, getting ready for weeks for this message, looking for a better way to communicate this, and I'm having the same problem that the Bible translators have. Because I can't find a word to use, but there is a pride that you have to have. And that's not a good word because we have such a negative connotation of pride. You need to have a desire for greatness in your work. You need to have some pride in your work. You need to have some pride in what you do. That you do the best job that you can, that your workplace is clean and tidy, and I'm struggling because I can't find a word, because we have such a negative connotation, as we should, about the word pride. But you need to have some pride in the way you dress, in the way you take care of yourself. You need to have some pride in your integrity. You need to have some pride in your word. I got more pride in my word than to tell you something and not do what I said I was going to do. The fact is, for me to say, I've got more pride than to go out dressed like that, that's not a put down to anybody else. I'm not stepping on anybody else. I'm just telling you, you've got to have a sense of a desire to do your best, to look your best, to be. Am I communicating this? Is everybody on the same page with me? Clearly, the Bible is against the pride that's going to step on and put other people down. But I'm not going to go half-cocked and do something. I've got more pride in my work and what I do. I'm not going to have a trashy yard. I'm not going to have an unkept house. I'm not going to have a trashy car. There's a desire inside you that pushes you to be better than your lazy flesh wants to be. Than just that lazy, apathetic, slothful flesh that I'm going to get up and I'm going to get dressed and I'm going to go accomplish something today. And the truth is, I want to be great. I want to be great. And I want what I do to be good. I want what I do to be great. I'm just going to tell you, I want to accomplish great things. That's what I want to do. I want to do something good. I want to accomplish great things. And that's not an arrogant pride that is looking down my nose at somebody else and saying that I'm better than you. I'm just telling you, a desire in my heart, and we all should have that. We all should have a desire, a drive to produce, to accomplish, to bear fruit. And to bear fruit that is great. To bear fruit that is lasting. When I say I want to be great, that's not an ego statement. That's not a put down to anybody else. That's an inner drive that we all should live with. That you want what you do to be really good. And there's a pride about what you do that you want to put out there that's really good. Now, Jesus continues this dialogue, not with just James and John and their perverted desire to be on his right and his left hand, but he calls all of the disciples together and uses this as a teaching moment in verse 42, 43, 44. Jesus said, now you know the Gentiles, those who don't know God, they lord over people. They exercise their authority over people. They flaunt their authority over those under them. Not so with you. And then he said, here is the way you will achieve greatness. It's not by flaunting yourself over somebody else, stepping on somebody else. Verse 43, here's the way you achieve greatness. You become a servant of all. And with this statement, Jesus opens up the key to living life. He opens up a key for how we are to live, regardless of what you do, regardless of who you are. He opens up a way that we are to look at life and our outlook on all of life. From this teaching of Jesus on how to become great, we get our free market economic system. We call it capitalism. If you look that word up in the dictionary, it says a privately owned and operated business that meets the needs of others, that serves others. Now, the Bible is under attack. All the teachings and concepts and principles of the word are under attack. Here's what I want you to know. Socialism is an attack on the biblical teaching of how we're supposed to operate life. Capitalism is what the Bible teaches. Now, let me just ask you, do business owners in a capitalist society want to get rich and want to be great? Certainly. Certainly they want to be rich and they want to be great. Nobody starts a business hoping that they're going to fail and go under. They all want to be rich and they all want to be great. In a free market society, here's how that works. How does all businesses become great? How do they become rich? Now, we're going to have to turn off the programming of a liberal media that we are being inundated with. How bad rich people are, how mean rich people are, how we ought to tax them, how we ought to really put them to the mat, how we ought to get these mean old rich. Now think about this. How in a capitalist free market society does anybody get rich? There's only one way. Serving people. There's only one way they get rich. Meeting the needs and the desires of other people. The company that made these boots that I'm wearing, they came up with a design. I don't know if you notice this. It's a cowboy boot, but it don't have a big, long, tall, pointed heel. It's got a flat heel on it. A wide, flat heel with an arch in it. The way they've designed this boot, my legs don't hurt, my calves don't hurt, it doesn't hurt my back, and I can stand for hours and hours in these boots, and it doesn't do to my back what a pair of tennis shoes does. What a pair of any other kind of shoes. These boots right here make my back feel good. Besides that, they look spectacular. When I saw them on the shelf, I put them on, and the way they made the back of my legs feel and my calves, I so liked these boots, I had rather have them than the money that was in my pocket. Are you following me? So what did I do? Nobody put a gun to my head. Nobody forced me. I wanted these boots more than I wanted the money in my pocket. So, in this capitalist free market society, I made this company a lot richer. And they made me a lot happier. What we call a win-win in business. It's interesting. God never created a system where one loses at another one's expense. God's system, both people, after the business deal is over, are equally happy. They were thrilled when I walked out of the store because of the money I paid for these. I was thrilled when I walked out of the store because I had them. Everybody's happy. In God's system, everybody can be blessed. Nobody is above anybody else, and I had to steal from you, I had to rob from you to advance myself. I advanced myself and I advanced the company, and everybody's advanced here. The fact is, I see it all the time. You do too. Many companies today are so convinced that they're going to make you happy that they'll tell you, if you're not happy in 30 days, bring it back and we'll give you all your money back. Yep. We're so convinced we'll make you so happy. If you're not still happy in 90 days, bring it back. We'll give you all of your money back. That's how assured they are that they're going to bless you, and make you happy, and meet your needs. How does a person or how does a company become great? Making millions and millions and millions of people happy. Rich people, rich companies are not the bad guy. Fact is, I love those rich oil people. I love them. I'm not against them because those guys drilling that oil that's miles under that ground, getting it up here, refining it, making it so an internal combustion engine can work, I didn't have to walk down here today. I do not understand why you want to belittle and begrudge and you want to attack the rich oil people. Just get out and walk everywhere you go then, big boy. Let me tell you, I love those guys. I didn't come down here in a covered wagon today. I rode in a truck. Matter of fact, I was a little cold, so I just pushed a button and warmed my rear end up. I love those guys. How come those rich, rich oil people are getting richer and richer and richer? Because they're meeting millions and millions of people's needs who don't want to walk or ride a horse everywhere they go. You can't get rich without meeting other people's needs. It's the way God designed it. You're serving people. Capitalism is a great thing. It's not a bad thing. Mean rich people taking advantage of poor little people. That's fabricated lie. Whatever that company sells, whatever it does, if it does not serve people, it goes under. If they are rich and if they are mean and if they are greedy, their business won't exist. If they're not meeting people's needs and making people happy, the richer you get, the more people you serve. America was built on biblical principles. There was a biblical understanding that we once had here. There was a servant mentality that everybody lived with. For generations, politicians were called public servants. Wouldn't that be nice to be come back? Public servants. We had an understanding of what greatness was. When you walked into a place of business, employees jumped to their feet to serve you. Some of you, I'm going to take you back to your youth. Some of you in here can tune me off because you hadn't got a clue about what I'm going to talk about. But all my growing up, where did we pull in to get gas? Service station. A service station. You're not going to believe this. The second you pulled up and turned your car off, there was somebody out there with a rag in their hand. They came to your window. Y'all ain't going to believe this. You rolled your window down. Some of you don't even know what that is. And a guy stuck his head in your car and says, "How may I help you?" And you said, $5, put $10 in it, fill her up. Or if you were a teenager, you said, put a dollar in it. That'll get me down to the next gas station. That's what you did. Now, we went around there, started your gas. You didn't open the hood. He could open it from the outside in those days. He opened the hood. What'd he do? Checked your oil for you. He checked your fluid levels in there for you. Closed the hood. He wasn't done. Pull that rag out. What'd he do? He wiped your windshield. Y'all ain't believing none of this. But that guy's lying. He wiped the windshield. I'm going to tell you, I was appalled. I still remember it like I'm looking at it right now. I was appalled when I saw a sign that said, self-serve only. Who the heck is going to ever pull in there? I pulled into a service station to get my fuel. Our country, from top to bottom, had a servant mentality where we served people. We had a mindset of serving people. And more rapidly than ever in the history of the world, America became the most wealthy, prosperous nation in the history of the world. Why? Because of what Jesus told his disciples in Mark chapter 10. How do you become great? You serve people. You serve people. You want to be great? You become a servant. Let me just ask you, how do we measure greatness? Well, that's a loose term. How do we measure greatness? Well, it's pretty easy. How would you measure the greatest TV network? The one that's watched by the most number of people. How would you measure the greatest retail store? The one that serves the most number of customers. What would be the greatest athletic shoe? The one that is worn by the most number of people. What would be the greatest soft drink? The one that is consumed by the most number of people. We measure greatness by the number of people we serve. We measure greatness by the number of people we help accomplish their goal, their task. I have a goal. It's just a personal desire. I don't want to walk. I like to drive. The greatest dealership is measured by the car dealership that helps the most number of people accomplish that goal. That's how you measure. The greatest dealership in Arkansas would be the one that helped the most number of people not walk but drive. Jesus said, you want to be great? You serve. Being the greatest dealership in Arkansas is a byproduct, is a result of helping the most number of people accomplish what it is they want to accomplish. Capitalism is not a bunch of rich, greedy people stealing from other people. A business only becomes rich by meeting the needs of other people. And the richer a company is, the more people it's met the needs of. Now, we're losing a biblical thinking in our society in this me generation of today. Nobody's going to use me. Nobody's going to step on me. I'm not serving. I'm not waiting on anybody. I'm entitled. I'm entitled to free education. I'm entitled to free health care. I'm entitled to a free house. I'm entitled to free food. See, I am here to be waited on. And today you walk in a retail store and just to find somebody to help you is just an unbelievable task. And when you find somebody and you ask them, could they help you? They sigh and they roll their eyes and they get up and they saunter over to you and you ask them where it is. And I don't know where that is. Well, let me just find it myself. Why is our greatness as a nation sagging right now? Why is greatness as individuals falling in numbers right now? Because we've lost the desire to serve other people. Jesus said, you want to be great? That's not a bad thought. He didn't rebuke them. He didn't tell them how horrible that was to want to be great. Become a servant of all. The way your business becomes great is you figure out a way to serve more people. It's an interesting definition. You look up the word servant, and here's the definition. A person devoted to another's cause. Those that joined the military, we once said they went into the service. They weren't going to do their own cause. They were going for my cause. They were going for other people's cause. Servant. A person devoted to another's cause. So many today are only devoted to their own cause. If they even go to work, which very few do, they go to work for my paycheck, my days off, my benefits, my retirement package. Our theme this year is making disciples. Jesus taught his disciples to live devoted to other people's cause. Your life is to center around helping other people's goals, desires, accomplish and fulfill their needs. Now, think about this. If you've got a shoe store, someone comes in and they're in need. They have a cause. Their shoes are worn out and they need a new pair of shoes. Except in my wife's case, she has 100 in her closet, that same color. But she still has a cause. She needs a new pair. I get that. I'm just, 40 years, you just give up. I get it. She's got a cause. She goes into the shoe store. She's looking for her shoes. Now, the store that jumps to assist, to help her, to meet her need, to give her the best product at the cheapest price with the best service will outdo the store that does none of those things. Jesus said, you want to be great? Become a servant of all. The message is today, whatever you do it not with you in mind, but you do it with other people in mind. And the neat thing about this is, the more you live with others in mind, the greater you're going to be. The more people you help accomplish their goal, the richer in life you live. Let me just ask you, why is Amazon becoming so great? Why are they becoming so great? It's a company that is meeting millions and millions and millions of people's needs. They figured out a way. I'm going to cut out the middleman. I'm going to keep you from driving to a store. I'm going to keep you from standing in line at a store. We're going to get this to right to your doorstep, right where you live. You won't have to go anywhere, and we're going to be able to cut out the middleman and get it to you cheaper than anybody else. The whole thing is centered on meeting people's needs and being a blessing to other people. And they are growing in greatness at an unprecedented rate. You want to become great? You meet the needs of other people. You serve other people. We're making disciples this year in this church. We're making disciples. We're in discipleship training here. To do that, we're going to have to turn off our self-centered thinking. We're going to have to turn that self-centered thinking around. I'm daily shocked how so many live with no one else in their mind but themselves. I was at the gas station. Right next to me, a guy smoking and the wind was blowing, and he could see it was blowing that smoke right across my face, and his stereo was so loud I couldn't hear myself think. It was rattling the glass in his car. He had no thought about what he was doing and how that was affecting anybody else, nor did he care. Same day, a truck passed me. No muffler, straight pipes. It passed me, and it hurt your ears. It was so loud. And it's la 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 la. And out there were houses. And I thought, no thought. That guy was on the night shift and he's asleep in that house. The next house, that mama's rocked that crying baby for 3 hours and that baby just went to sleep. No thought about anybody in the neighborhood, anybody on the road, but how cool he thought those pipes were, just deafening loud. No thought about anybody but me. Ooh, same day, a lady in line in Walmart in front of me. Oh, pajamas, flip-flops. There was body parts hanging out of every opening in those pajamas. It was lopping out all over the cat. All over the little conveyor belt. And divert your gaze. You couldn't get it away from where she was. No thought about anybody but her. Ma'am. Just ask yourself, how does what I'm wearing affect other people? Just one question before you walk out. How does the straight pipes on my truck affect anybody else that I'm going to drive by today? How does my music affect everybody that I'm going to drive by? How does my dog at 3 a.m. affect my neighbors? You know, we're called to be other-centered, and there is no thought generated today in anybody's mind about how this affects anybody else. What's wrong with it? I like it. What's wrong with it is it's the wrong question. We're becoming disciples, and a disciple is others-centered. A disciple thinks about other people. And what is so interesting is, if you could ever get a hold of this concept, it will make you great. It will make you great. We've got to work at getting our minds off of ourselves, of our needs, our goals, our causes, and work at putting others' needs, others' desires in front of us. In whatever business you're in whatever you do, in whatever you're occupied, whatever you do, get your mind on serving other people. How can I today help other people accomplish their goal? Jesus said, you want to become great? Here's how you do it. You serve people. You serve people. As we look at this principle, we see really it is the essence of the life of a Christian. The Christian life is not one of occasionally going to church. The Christian life is the life of a disciple that says, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I'm now living, come on. You live your life not self-centered and for yourself. The life that I live by faith. Jesus gave himself for us. And he did so as an example that we are to give ourselves for other people. Remember, he prayed, God, I don't want to do this. Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. It's called thinking about somebody else besides yourself. I'm just telling you today, whatever business you do, and we've got all kinds of businesses in here. We got home builders in here. If you'll focus on building the best home for somebody else, it'll make you richer. We've got real estate salespeople in here. If you'll focus on getting somebody else the best price and the best house, it'll make you great. We've got on and on and on. I could name all the businesses in here. The more you serve other people, the greater your business will be. I want to talk on the phone right now. That's what I want to do. But I'm on my boss's time, so I'm not going to do that. See, that thought is not about what you want to do, but about your boss. I'm tired. I want to sit down right now. But another customer came in. My thought is on my customer, not on the fact that I'm tired and I want to sit down. It's interesting. As you live this way with others in mind, you will become rich and great. It's the way it works. Parents, I get it. You want to be over at your friend's house late. half the night, but your 3 and 4 year old right now needs to be home in bed. Or you do you think about anybody but yourself? Husbands, wives, do you think about anybody but yourself? You live serving your mate. Can I get you something? How can I help you today? What is your plan for today? How can I help you accomplish your goal? Husbands and wives, kids on the playground, do you play with others in mind and their feelings in mind and what they're dealing with in mind? Kids, we think about other people on the playground. What is just so interesting about this life of serving others is God made it in a way as it is the very thing that will make you great. Teenagers, you just cannot live with all of your thoughts on you. You just can't live that way. Your parents have been at work all day. Do the dishes and clean the house so when they come in, the dishes are done and the house is clean. Teenager, you can't live consumed with yourself and what you're thinking and what you're going through. You're going to have to live with your parents in mind. Employees, you can't think about yourself all the time. Think about what your boss is going through. If money's not in there come Friday, he's going to have to figure out a way to get it in there to meet payroll. I mean, think about somebody else and the pressure they're under and what they're going through. What's amazing to me is the more you learn to do this, the greater you become. So, you want to be great? It's not a bad thought. Fact is, you should. Everybody in here should want to. Be great, do great, accomplish great. You should want to be great. Now, once again, a pride that steps on other people, that puts other people down, a pride that thinks you're better than somebody else, that's not what this sermon is about. The Bible has strong warnings about that. But you should want to be great. Your house clean, your room clean, your car clean, your clothes cleaned and pressed and sharp, your teeth brushed, gargle before you leave the house. Think about somebody else besides yourself. I don't like to gargle. I'm not asking you to do it for yourself. Take pride in your work that makes you want to be great. Clean up your work area. You know, you're on the job, others have to work here too. Don't turn in sloppy work at school. Your teacher has got to try to read that. Take time and write clean and legible where somebody else doesn't have to labor over reading your work. Here's what I'm telling you. Whatever you do, think about others, not just yourself. Make serving others. Make blessing others. Make others your concern. All of our young people in here, you should want to be great. You should pursue greatness. So, you want to be great? Jesus said, become a servant of all. Stand. Lord, today, we just ask you to forgive us of our selfishness. Forgive us of our just self-consumption, that all we think about is ourself. Lord, as we're becoming disciples this year, our thoughts go toward you and go toward serving others. Lord, that others and their needs become more important than me and my needs. Lord, today we live to please you and to please others. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.